shy little Rover, deliver, deliver, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with our favorite worm gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu in the house. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Great to have you both here. And we have some special guests in the studio with us. Lance, you have some good friends here from California.
From San Clemente. Tim and I have been friends since eighth grade.
So nice. Tim and his
wife, Rhonda.
Wife, Rhonda. And they listen from San Clemente or from California, and they are avid gardeners themselves. Yeah. So great to have you here. We love to pick on people in the studio. No.
Yeah, we have a good time with this person, no doubt about it.
All right. It is a live call-in show, and Lance and Lulu here to answer your questions. Just tell us what's going on, 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Or you can email worm at kvnf.org. And some nice weather right now, a little bit of dryness and getting a lot of projects done.
Yeah, it's fun. I was in the high 70s, maybe the low 80s. I saw when I came to town, I said it was 80. I'm not sure if that was right or not, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been beautiful, but we had a pollen and seed storm just now in Peonia. I don't know if it's still going on.
Mm-hmm. Just around the last freeze, you get a blizzard.
Yeah. Well, the wind, the pollen was amazing. It was blowing down the street like a dust storm. And the what do you call those? Elm seeds were...
The elm seeds are blowing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And the cottonwood...
Yeah. It's I feel bad for anybody who has allergies.
Right. Or they who just cleaned suffering. Up their porch.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I wish you hadn't said that.
Okay. Sorry, darling.
Because that's a truth.
That is true.
Well, and, there it is. Whatever.
What about that last freeze? We're past Mother's Day, so are we in the clear? What do you project?
No.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. It's still, it's the amount of snow in the high country.
And there's a lot of it.
And there's a lot.
Yeah.
And more is coming, supposedly.
Right. Yeah. Change in the weather.
I've had frost June 6th.
Sure.
Light frost.
Okay. Yeah, so do you still have your sheets and blankets
out? Well, I haven't put them away. All of them. I have some out.
Stand by.
Yeah, mine are always out, too. Or right where I can grab them quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been on these big projects, and it's wearing me out.
Big projects. Let me give the phone numbers, and then you tell us about that. 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. What's your main priority right now in your garden, Lulu?
Yeah. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to find it right now. I'm on my phone looking for it. Anadorphin.
Anadorphin. The bluebell thing.
Yeah.
The bluebells of Ireland.
Is it anadorphin? Anadormina. Anadorma is what I've heard it called. And I just look, and I can't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's taken over one part of my vinca. In the vinca, you know how?
Oh, you mentioned that last week.
And it's serious. I mean, you know, I'm going to win, of course. But, geez Louise.
Anadorph, something like that, but bluebells of Ireland.
Andorma. If anybody knows out there, give us a call, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
Thank you. And Lance, you wanted to follow up from a call last week from Dan on Log Hill Mesa about thistle and just some cultivating advice.
Oh, I mentioned that he had quite a seed stock of thistle in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you deep turn, the more you bring up the seeds. So, or till it really deep. So what you want to use is like a broad fork or spading fork just to loosen the soil but not turn it. And then you only cultivate the top 2 inches. And within 2 to 3 years, maybe 4 years, all the seed that's in that top 2 inches will have germinated and is gone. And as long as you don't turn deeply, you won't bring up any more seed.
All right.
And so that's great advice. The idea on that.
Yeah, I've used that theory a lot I'll spend a lot of time hand picking weeds out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't disturb the soil, you don't bring up any more weeds.
Yeah. Right.
And what's germinated is germinated, mm-hmm. and voila, you're done.
You're done.
Yeah. So it's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's works. A great strategy.
Yeah.
We've heard about that. I think Clearwater talks about that in mm-hmm. permaculture.
In permaculture.
Yeah. Disturbing
yeah.
the soil.
Disturbing the mm-hmm. soil. You know, and then if you have chickens and you can somehow corral your chickens onto a spot, that'll do it.
Mm-hmm. That'll take
They'll
care of it.
They'll eat up everything.
They eat everything. Yeah. That would probably
they
work
eat
on
everything.
The yeah, they do.
And I they mean, give you compost.
And they poop all over the place, and it's great. And it's mm-hmm. high nitrogen, and oh, yeah. I cleaned out. So I use alfalfa pellets in my cat litter, right? So I cleaned mm-hmm. out my cat litter box today, and I was looking for some place to put my kitty litter with its kitty pee in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to look up kitty pee. It's good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's mostly water.
Uh-huh.
And 5% urea, which is great, you know, that nitrogen, so you're good.
Where'd you throw it? Where'd you put it?
I haven't yet.
Oh, no decision yet.
No. I don't have the courage yet.
All right. But you did have a question from someone that you ran into about compost, size of compost pile, something like that.
Yeah.
Remind me.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Lance and
size.
I. Yeah.
We agreed.
We agreed.
Yeah.
Right out of the chute. It's got to be, you got to have at least 3 feet wide, you know, like
a three by three.
A 3x3x3. Yeah,
yeah,
cube.
And reason being?
That's when you have enough mass for the heat in the center to build up.
Okay.
Other than that, it's not enough mass.
It's not
you have
enough
to cook
mass.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't get fired up, you know. So.
It will break down,
yeah.
but it'll be much slower. And you'll have. With the heating, the one benefit of the heating is it does burn up weed seeds.
Right.
Yeah, right, know. So you can put weeds in the pile and
mm-hmm.
not worry.
Right, and not worry yeah. about it. And, you know, if you don't have that much compost, you should be maybe thinking about something else anyway, like vermiculture, you know, getting that worm thing going.
Yeah.
And there's so much information about that online. You can easily... You know, hook yourself mm-hmm. up with some sort of...
Yeah, and you can do that vermiculture right underneath the kitchen sink.
Right, anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's some interesting
in
stuff.
If you're not producing,
about that.
You want to... I'm not going to do vermiculture. I just have so much.
Right.
Yeah,
but if
just
you have
naturally.
A small yard and just mm-hmm. and just you or a couple people in the compost you've got, you can use the worms and have the compost made right there.
Yep. And my compost pile has a lot of worms. And the girls, the chickens, find... Will sometimes
mm-hmm.
they'll start mining a spot, start digging a spot, and then they get down to the worm level, and then it's bad because they destroy everything.
Oh, I bet they go for it.
Yeah, and they just get all the worms. And
mm-hmm.
Bon appetit.
Yeah, they love it. They love it. Protein. That's why.
That's
everybody's
right.
after protein.
Right.
Protein and fat. Today they got fed fat, and then because I had some science project, cream cheese in the refrigerator. You know how that happens? And
okay.
So I threw it in there, and then they got on that, and then they found the worms. Oh, man, they were
wow,
in heaven.
Wow, that is like chicken creme brulee.
It was just fabulous. They were having so much fun.
All right, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. And Lance, you also had some follow-up information from the call about the ants in the tree in Norwood from Lorna.
Yeah.
Talking about bark paint.
Yeah, I realized the next day or two that there's actually a very simple bark paint that you can make, and it's equal parts aged manure or compost, diatomaceous earth, rock phosphate if you have it. If you don't have it, you put wood ashes in it, and you make this into a whitewash, slurry, take an old paintbrush and you paint this on the bark. And it will fill the holes. It fertilizes the bark with the manure and stuff and the rock phosphate. And then it also gets insects with the diatomaceous earth.
Right.
You know, because once the diatomaceous earth isn't harmful when it's really wet, but once it dries out, it goes back to being harmful. So,
and it's in that slurry. So does that keep it so that it, you know, when it's, when you're just spreading it, you have to reapply it when it's after it rains. But since it's in this paste, does that keep it so that it can?
Well, it will last for 2 or 3 weeks. Depends
on.
Yeah, it depends on. I used to paint it in the fall for whitewash for winter sunburn. And I'd have to reapply it maybe once a month with the snow in winter.
Right. And, but I mean, the diatomaceous earth might not necessarily make it past a lot of weather or things like that. But it'll, still have all the other group in there, so it's good.
Yeah. Hey, Tara from Paonia is on the line with a comment. Good evening, Tara.
Yes. My question is back to the vermiculture question. I had a healthy population of red wigglers for many years, probably a decade here. But last year, I think I heated them up too much, or they froze too much when I was gone or something. But anyway, I've been looking for more, but why? Many of the local people I've talked to, they say, oh, yeah, you were looking for red wigglers, but I've used earthworms.
And
so what I want to know about what you recommend, apparently the earthworms might try to escape. That's the only thing I've really heard about them.
Escape?
That's
yeah, out of your pit, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, yes, cool. Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you?
Well, no. The only thing I know is the red wigglies need to be fed. They need a constant supply of food because they're voracious that way. And then brown wigglies, and I've actually heard them call that, brown wigglies, are more tolerant. So maybe that's an earthworm, but, you know, if they're going to be escaping on you, where are they going to go? I don't get it. I mean,
they're in a container, right?
Right.
Well, I'm setting up this bathtub.
I love it.
Yeah, so I can catch the juice at the bottom. I've always done it in a pit.
There's moisture comes off these. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's got a very concentrated compost tea.
Wow. Okay.
Worm casting tea.
Worm castings.
And would you dilute that quite a bit to water your house plants?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But your garden plants too, dilute it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, like
potent stuff.
One cup per gallon or something.
That's about what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little more, because I make a compost tea as well. But I don't think it's that hot.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so I do maybe a little more than a cup gallon, but God, it really works. And I'm feeding my house plants now, and they're super happy. They're so happy. Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Tara.
Appreciate I'm looking for red wigglers if anybody has them.
Okay, perfect.
I've shared so many over the years.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tara.
And you can hook up with Tara at worm@kvnf.org. Send us an email. And if you have a question tonight, 527-4868-866-KVNF now. And it's Dave in Delta on the phone. Good evening, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I had a simple question, and then I started hearing you talk about compost. And so that generated another question. Typically, what temperature do you get it up to when it's cooking?
Oh, that's so cool. That's the best question. I love that.
Yeah. Well, my thing is I stick a pitchfork in and let it stay in for 5 minutes and pull it out, and I generally can't handle it.
Yeah.
The metal tines.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a thermometer.
I do, and the highest I ever got my interior temperature up to was about between 150 and 160.
Wow.
So it was hot.
Yeah. Cooking.
Yeah. But that was optimum. I can hardly ever do that anymore because I don't have I just don't have the same style pile. So.
Yeah.
Down here in my neighborhood, I've become the king of compost. Everybody gives me their grass clippings.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I collect all the leaves from off. Anyway, that was one question. The other question is it too late to plant the spinach on your balcony?
No, I'm going to do. I'm going to do one more.
Wait, he's in Delta.
In Delta, he can still try it. Yeah, it will come up. Yeah. I would. What you're going to probably have to do?
It's so wet down there.
Yeah. You might have to shade cloth it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because you're gonna get too hot too.
And there's different shade cloths that will cut out 10% the sun, 20%, 30%, 40%, and you'll just have to research what you want to get on that.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. But it will still come up in a couple of weeks. It will. Go to a nursery or online. Look up shade cloth. Yeah, you'll find it.
Yeah, it's easy to find, and you don't even have to buy huge amounts anymore. You can buy smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So, but buy a huge amount, and then you've got it. You know, that's my theory. Yeah, whatever.
Well, what about, is it good to shade block lettuce?
Yes.
I'm
sure.
Just planting that too.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Anything like that. I mean, I think about it because it does. It gets so hot. I shade my basil when it's first coming up and lots of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have friends in their small gardens and they shade their beds of greens. And
yeah.
The shade is up the whole summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, all I got to do is figure out how to keep the wind from blowing it away.
Right.
Clothespins. My clothespins.
Right. There you
well,
go.
Thank you very much.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks
all right,
for calling.
Thank you, Dave. Good questions right. there.
Yeah, good questions.
Cooking
oh
the
goodness.
Compost and, yeah, you're putting spinach in the ground and some other things right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, one more plant in the spinach, and then I'll just be doing the straight greens.
Oh, okay. Straight yeah, greens.
Well, lettuce and cilantro and green onions, I'll plant those about every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My cilantro
wow.
is it's a good just
and it might,
to
I might
off.
Still, it depends. If it stay, goes cool, I'll do another planting mm-hmm. of spinach, but spinach just doesn't like heat.
Okay.
And it's simple as that.
Yeah. All right, and that's the difference here in Delta. It's
mm-hmm.
yeah.
a lot hotter. Than
right, that's why I said, wait, he's in Delta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, the lamb's quarter, I
yes.
don't even use spinach
yeah.
anymore. I just
have lamb's quarter for breakfast.
I have
right?
lamb's
it's crazy right
I
now.
I have lamb's quarter all over the place, and I can't eat what I've froze last year before the new stuff is I'm going to be freezing, you know. So I'm on a lamb's quarter binge bender.
There you go. Lamb's quarter cleanse.
Yeah, it's almost that way.
Yeah.
But it's good.
It is
it's good.
Good.
It's good stuff. It's so tasty.
Good stuff. It has just the right kick to it.
You know, it's just tasty and it's sweet and delicious
mm-hmm.
and it goes with everything I made soup. It's in the soup. It's I have it with eggs every morning and garlic and Parmesan cheese. Mm,
yummy.
It's fabulous.
All right.
So, and it's free. Comes up all by itself.
Exactly. And you're already eating out of
yeah,
your yard
yeah.
and garden.
Yep. So there you have it.
All right. 527-4868-866 KBNF now. Worm at KBNF.org. And Lance, you have some seed crop that's flowering.
Yeah, the I wasn't planning to let some of these go to seed, but because of the seed-to-seed class, I let them to show people. So the patch of kale is flowering.
Oh, yeah. I love it when that happens.
And they're really quite beautiful, you yeah. know, that bright green with a yellow flower. And then the spinach, we can say it's blooming, but it's really it's not pretty, but the pollen, the male, all the pollen is it's wind pollinated.
Oh, okay.
And there's male and female Dang. Plants. And so that's going.
Looking
and then
good.
And the China rose radish is starting to bloom. And it's a pink white flower.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's fun to see it.
Mm-hmm. As
it
the
is.
Seed to seed program continues.
Mm-hmm.
My arugula, I have two arugula plants that are blooming. So I'll get those seeds.
Uh-huh.
You're going for seed on that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I save a little almost every year. From my arugula.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's one of your favorites because you do so much with that.
Yeah, and the Sylvette arugula, the real fine stuff, that's salad ready now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, is that a perennial?
No.
No, it's
but it reseeds like crazy.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's kind of a biennial. So it's one, you know, how they If it doesn't make enough of itself, that it'll come back the next year. Some of the little plants, but mostly it just likes to reseed, and it's everywhere, you know. So it's great.
Okay. Well, yeah. I know better than to plant it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it does. It gets everywhere, but it, you know, it's one of those really plays fair. It's an annual, basically. I mean, it kind of biennial, but mostly annual. So when you get rid of it, it's gone.
Yeah.
And you like it.
And I like it. Mm-hmm. Especially with the sun gold tomatoes, and you soak them, rehydrate them in a little olive oil. Yeah. And arugula, you can't beat it.
With a little Parmesan cheese.
A little Parmesan cheese, a little pasta, whatever.
Hey, we have a question from someone in Paonia about their crab apple tree just not blooming this year, with everything else just in full bloom, that just not putting out any flowers.
Right.
Anything about that does it, is it sick? Is it just one of those things that happens?
I think it was drought last summer.
Drought last summer,
Drought summer. And the small possibility that it went to bloom and it was a spot that got frozen this spring.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sure. So. Maybe not in the right sunny.
Right.
Yeah, just enough just that it lasted a long enough time that it took those buds out.
Yeah, just stressed it.
But
it could be anything, really. Yeah. I mean, and the drought last year was so severe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you're watering, it was still it was rough.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of casualties.
Yeah.
Still showing.
So, we'll see.
And another question about knapweed and how to get rid of
knapweed. Oh, yes. How do you get rid of it?
Don't ever let it get started.
Yeah, that's really the best way.
And I had hauled some manure in one time with make compost and showed up that compost had knapweed.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, got them in the seedling stage. Like
right, that's the way to do it. But knapweed is an indication that you have a lot of potassium in your soil. So I went around digging around to figure out how you neutralize potassium, and basically you just add more of everything else, you know, whatever you've got. But if you've already got an established knapweed patch, oh, God, it's rough. Just keep after it. Keep mowing it. Keep mulching it.
Yeah.
Just keep after it.
And if it's out in the field or like sometimes the edge of sagebrush fields, you know, your perennials, your native perennials will stunt it and slow it down.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's a precursor, too. So it sets soil up to accept a lot of the native grasses will move in with the knapweed and then eventually work it out. I was in Montana or Wyoming, and there was a gardener there that was telling me that these hillsides that had been completely knapweeded out had gone completely back to the native grasses, because they stopped grazing their cows on it, and they just let it be, and it recovered, and it recovered nicely because the knapweed had loosened the soil, had deep roots,
and a lot of organic matter.
Yeah, a lot of organic matter kept falling on top. Yeah, and so it worked.
Yeah, this is the one thing we chatted about, all that burning.
Oh, yeah.
And burning does not get rid of weeds. It actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because the thing that's going to grow there is knapweed, thistle.
All your weeds.
Leafy spurge. You've just cleared it. You know, the same
made
when people spraying herbicides.
Okay.
The same thing. The only thing that's going to grow there is these really tough, aggressive plants.
Right.
And their job is to
get the dirt ready to rehabilitate the soil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I have leafy spurge in my couple of spots I found in my garden for the first time ever.
Yeah.
I've never had it. And there it was. I went, wow, cool.
Leafy spurge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple different weeds that are like, whoa.
I think it probably came from the irrigation water.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff coming down that ditch.
Yeah, coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
We have time for another caller, 527-4868-866 KVNF now. Lance, speaking of plants that need soil amendment or weeds, blueberries. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I
just
want, this was happened a couple of weeks ago, and I was at a client's house, and there was a pot with a blueberry plant in it. And she was not there at the time, and I picked that pot up, but I put it at her door, put it on it, return this plant. It does not grow here, period.
Yeah.
Just return it.
Yeah, get rid of it.
And
even try.
Yeah, the water's not the best. The soil's worse. It's not the winter. It's also too much sun.
Oh, too much sun.
Too much sun.
And okay. And the pH is too high.
Yeah.
It likes an acidic soil.
Yeah.
And we're sweet.
So,
and
no
our water's
blueberries.
Sweet.
And I'm going to say this. Shame on nursery for bringing it in here.
Yeah, right.
Because the people just pay $20 for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not going to live.
But the other berries that work are definitely raspberries.
Oh, my God.
Blackberries.
Blackberries. Mm-hmm. Strawberries, currants.
Currants.
Mm-hmm.
Currants
yeah.
go crazy.
Yeah.
I've often thought about growing commercially currants.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do so well here.
Yeah, because yeah. they mm-hmm. do so well. And I just have my currant bushes are the ones that were probably planted at my house, you know, back in the 40s or something.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And they're good, but they're not great. And they're hard to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercial ones now, the hybrids, are mm-hmm. so easy and so fabulous and so prolific. And you can, you know, pick gallons in minutes.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but talk about harvesters. Don't you think that the birds are off the hook this year? I mean, really.
I have
volume,
seen, oh my God, volume. And
noise. Variety.
Yeah. Variety, yeah. I saw a bunting, one of those really pretty bunting ones,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a tanager,
right?
And I saw a really cool hawk,
yeah.
and there's just been a lot.
I saw a bluebird fly down into the grass, grab a bird and or bird a bug, and flew back up to the wires to feed it to the other bird. And I'm thinking that it's feeding its baby, but talking to a friend that's quite the bird person, it's actually a courtship.
Oh, really?
And it is the male bluebird feeding the female.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
I'd never seen that, nor did I
That's
ever
what I
know
want,
it.
A man that cooks.
Right.
Perfect, right?
And feeds me.
Yeah, and feeds me. Oh, man, I'd weigh 400 pounds. Could you see me weighing 400 pounds? That would be so funny.
You little bluebird. All right. What can I say but enjoy it out there? And that brings us to the end of another episode, and we'll be back.
Just just a little note, cutworms.
Oh, cutworms, sure.
The cutworms are showing up.
Uh-oh. And advice?
Well, they're the ones that
just watch out.
The seedlings, you know, if you see one falling over and you have no idea, you look at the base and you'll see it's been chewed up.
Clean. Just boom.
Yeah, and so go dig around just a little bit, and that worm will be not too far.
Mm-hmm.
And just get them out of there.
Get them out of there. Mm-hmm. So pick them out of there. What about diatomaceous earth or anything?
I think if you have a really bad problem, mm-hmm. you actually can make colors out of the paper towels or toilet paper rolls.
Toilet paper
you
rolls.
Cut them and bury it. When you plant the plant, you put that cardboard down in there. And until it's big, that thing is firm enough that the cutworm can't get
through it. Yeah,
okay,
I've done
that's
that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a collection, too.
Yeah,
and
save those things over the
another
winter.
Friend used to do this. This is where chickens come in handy. In the spring, she rototills the garden and then lets the chickens in.
Lets the chickens go.
And they eat all those kind of bugs. Simple,
all right.
Simple as that.
A lot of ways to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thanks for bringing our attention to that, Lance.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, Rhonda, great to have you here from California.
Yay!
And thank you, friends and listeners. It's DJ Leah Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective next on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
All right, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.